Good morning, everyone. I have known Becky Linebaugh for, 37 years. Should I keep going? Then and now, one of the things about Becky, if you don't know anything about Becky, is that Becky is a very humble spirit, and as always has been. That's why she will not say anything about herself when it comes to prayer time, and because that's just who Becky is. But we've had some changes in the schedule for her surgery, and so there's some things there they have to work out. What we want is God's guidance on their family. We want God's protection on her body and her soul, and to watch over her during this time. So you're all joined together with me to pray for our sister, okay? Father, we want to thank you so much for Becky, and we want to thank you so much for how she has, her and Bill together have blessed this ministry and this work in so many lives, and we just give you thanks for that. We give you thanks, Father, that we are aware of what's going on with her, the doctors are, and Father, we just pray for the right timing, the right treatment, the right solutions, and that you protect her, Father, that as the cancer is dissipating, it will continue to, and that she would continue to get stronger and healthier as she approaches her surgery. So bless her, watch over her, help them navigate through this process of getting the calendars and the schedules right, God. It feels like a huge weight on their shoulders to try to figure it out. So I pray that you would carry that weight for them. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. In a couple, just around the corner, we're having this holiday called Christmas. Isn't that amazing? It just seems like it's just here, isn't it? One of the things that we do in our family, we've been doing for almost 20-some years, is my children have learned this Christmas chant. It was started because my mother, who wanted to host Christmas dinner for all the family, she kind of had a way she wanted to do it. Well, when you have a bunch of little kids who see all the presents around the tree, what do kids want to do? They want to open the presents. They don't want to eat first. And then definitely they don't want to clean up first, second, and wait for the presents. They want to go to the presents right away. So my sister, who was single at the time, didn't have children, taught all of our children and her nephews and nieces a little chant. And so every Christmas, as dinner is getting ready, they say, eat clean presents, eat clean presents. And that's their chant. To this day, as young adults, the children are still saying, eat clean presents, eat clean presents. It's kind of like you got to do all this important other stuff first to get to the good stuff, right? The sermon this morning is kind of like that. I really like to start off with the end and just get to the end, the good stuff. But it won't mean a whole lot unless we go through the beginning stuff. We got to go through this. There's a lot of stuff here in this passage. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. If you have your Bibles, open those. We have it up on the screen for you as well. The great deal of things, there's probably a dozen or two dozen different types of messages that, and maybe more that can come from these two verses. But I want to talk about this very special woman named Anna for a little bit, learn some things about her, and then we're going to eat clean, and then we're going to get to the presents at the end, okay? The really good stuff. So here we go. We're going to get started. And so, starting off with a verse here, there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. Now that's significant in and of itself, but that's another message for another time. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, being Joseph and Mary and Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. So a little bit about Anna. Anna is a prophetess there at the temple, okay, in Jerusalem, which is a very busy place, a lot of activity, a lot of things going on. And she is a prophetess there, which means, in a lot of ways, prophetess means different things. Sometimes it can mean knowing the future, hearing from God, but also means, in a lot of more so cases, somebody who's sharing the news, is spreading the word, the truth. And there's a handful of other women throughout Scripture who are mentioned prophetesses. Miriam, the sister of Moses, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Deborah, the judge, in Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Huldah, the wife of Shallum, in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 22. Isaiah's wife, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. Philip's four unmarried daughters, in Acts chapter 21, verse 9. So she also is a daughter of Phanuel. We talked about that, a tribe of Asher. And it says that she was very old, around, some say about 84. Others say that she may have been older, up to like 105, possibly, some scholars say. But she was only married 7 years, and then widowed for the remaining years. That's what we know about her. And it seems like, from what we know, from what Scripture, she didn't marry again. So after 7 years, she worked in the temple and served in the temple there. She worshiped, she fasted, and she prayed there for all those years. And then, of course, she shares the good news with other people as being a prophetess. That's what she did, waiting for the people who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So that's Anna. And there's some things we can glean from Anna. And you have your notes in front of you, and we're going to go through some scriptures. We're going to go through the eat and clean part pretty quickly here, but we want to get to the presence part, okay? So first, the thing about Anna is that she didn't give up. She didn't give up. We know that she experienced a loss in her life. We don't know how many other losses, but a significant one, a loss of her husband after only being married 7 years. And as some of you know, from experiencing loss in our life, whether it's a loved one, a parent, a child, a friend, whatever it might be, it changes our world. It does. Loss changes our world. It's very challenging to navigate through those times and those years. And yet this was a difficult time for her, but she didn't give up. She kept going, moving forward. There was something awaiting her. There was something after this. And yet she didn't give up. Have you ever felt like in times in your life, whether in some relationships you're striving to develop, things that are going on at work, things that are going on maybe in your health, some other things that are going on, any other kinds of challenges, you ever feel, don't raise your hand, how many people have ever felt like throwing in the towel? You just get to the place and go, Lord, I quit. I'm just done. I mean, I've been there where you feel like, you know what, I just can't do it anymore, Lord. And at those times, it seems like God shows up in a very special way at those particular times. And I'm sure he must have done that for her to move forward and move on with her life into the next phase of her life, into the next normal of her life, into the next world that she's about to embark into. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So an encouraging verse about not losing heart. But there's something here, and again, we could spend a whole message on this alone. But I want you to point out something. Notice here in this verse is, and let us run with perseverance. Perseverance. Persevering through those challenging times. Persevering through those obstacles that face us. And how do you do that? And I used to read this verse a certain way, where people say, hey, just fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what gets you through. And I get that. So if I do that, practically speaking, I put Jesus up there, that's going to get me through because he cares about us. He loves us. That's all good. But see, Jesus is our example. Always remember that. He is our example. He is the way, which means he shows us the way. You want to persevere? Look what he did. Notice the phrase here, for the joy set before him. What that means is that there is a prize out there for him. And because he had that joy of reaching that prize, of attaining that prize, he was able to endure the cross. So we don't know much more about Anna, but yet there seems to be that there was something that she had out there that she was looking at, and through that endurance, through that trial, through that race, she had that joy of attaining that, and that's what brought her through. And that's what took her through. So I don't know. You might be saying, Brian, you have no idea what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But here's what I know from Jesus' example. Is that there is something ahead. But what is that ahead for you? What is that next chapter like? What is that next stage like? What does that next part of your life look like? What is that? And in that, that's where we find our joy, that our excitement. And that's the thing Jesus says that brings us through. He is our example. God is good. There was a time in my life when I had experienced something that I had never experienced before. It was a time where I was having, as an executive of a nonprofit, I had to deal with something that I had never experienced before, and other people that I talked to, other executives and other boards, had never experienced before either. And to ask somebody, what do you do through this? People would say, I've never been through anything like this, so I don't know how to guide you and to how to help you. And there was a time in my life in those challenges when it seemed like I didn't have anybody around except for my family, and it seemed like I had no clue how to get through this, that there was this gentleman in our neighborhood who's a good Christian man, and I was seeing him one day. He said, how's it going? And I said, you know what? I'll be honest with you, not good. It's really tough, and I have no idea what to do. And he looked at me, and he pointed at me, and he said, do you realize that God and you make the majority? And I thought, what are you talking about? And I thought about it. He said, God and you make the majority. Think about that. Almighty God, all-powerful, mighty creator, omnipotent, omniscient, everything God who was, is, and will ever be, and you make the majority. Isn't that a good team? Isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that comforting to have God with us? And it's just he and I. I tell you what, that helped me get me through, because there was my God and me. And no matter what I was facing and no matter what I was dealing with, we were the majority and we were going to make it through. She fulfilled her purpose. She was a prophetess. She worked in the temple. We're going to be talking a lot about this in 2020, about what our purpose is. Now, don't raise your hand, but do you have an idea what your purpose is for being here on this planet? Do you know what that is? Some people are nodding their head. I said, don't raise your hand, but some people are nodding their heads. No. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But the good news is this, is that you do have a purpose for being here. Before you were ever even woven in your mother's womb, okay, God had an idea about you and his plans for you and his idea for you and how you would be. And all of us individually are wired different ways. We have different interests and different passions. And through all those things is your purpose, your reason for being here, who you are and what you're about. And life is about finding out what that purpose is. And God has equipped you and wired you and designed you to do where you find that fulfillment and joy. And she found hers. Because at first she was a wife. And in those days she had a particular role in those traditions. But when her husband died, there was another thing for her that she pursued passionately. And that was serving in the temple, and that was being a prophetess. She fulfilled her purpose. Would you like to discover what your purpose is? Now you can raise your hand. We're going to do that in 2020. We're going to embark on that. We'll talk more about that. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. She also trusted the Lord for everything. She had to. Because a lot of times when you were widowed, you fell into the category of the widows and orphans. And oftentimes those individuals were a group of people that immediately were on the lower economic scale in that culture. And so therefore God had built into his nation ways to be able to help out the orphan and the widow. And so they had to trust God for everything. And she did. And she was blessed because of it. I believe she understood the fact that God was the source of everything. As a matter of fact, I don't know, because it doesn't say in Scripture, but just thinking about the fact that she was serving, and it was there at the temple, she understood, because in those days, they understood, or I believe, that God was in the temple, that God was around the temple, and so therefore, she wanted to be in the presence of God, because she understood that God is the source of everything. He was her source of everything, and she trusted him. You know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. We'll talk more about this in weeks to come and months to come. But I think it was one of the most positive revelations in my life as I lived my life for a good period of time thinking this thought, hey, God gave me a mind, God gave me common sense, therefore I should be just using my common sense and doing my own thing and stuff, and whenever I need him, I'll go to him. Until the things started falling apart around me, and I just didn't have control over those things. And then I began to realize, you know what? God is the source of everything. God is my provider. God is the provider of my employment. God is the supplier of my family. God is the supplier of my food on my table. God is the supplier of my electricity. God is the supplier and source for everything. Amen? And once we realize that, it's freeing, folks. I trust me, it's freeing. If you haven't already experienced that, when you realize God's the source of everything, I rely upon him for everything. And when we do, it's so freeing. Because you know, hey, he's the supplier. I don't have to worry about providing. I don't have to worry about trying to get all this in control and have control over these things. I don't have to worry about all these things. God is going to provide and take care of it. Amen? She understood that. Psalm 31:38. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love endures forever, Lord. Do not abandon the works of your hands. She was also committed, very committed. It says night and day she was fasting. Night and day, worshiping and fasting there in the temple, meeting people, encouraging people, sharing the good news, talking about the deliverance of Israel that was to come. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Number 5, she was a strong witness for Christ. She was there sharing with other people. We found out after she saw the Messiah, she went immediately and began to talk to other people about him. That's what she was wired to do. That was her purpose. She was a strong witness for him. Sometimes people ask me and have asked me, how do you grow a church? How does a church grow? You want the secret to growing church? Would you like to hear that this morning? Because I have it right here. Ready? Tell people about Jesus. There you go. That's it. Just tell people about Jesus, about what he's done in your life. That's all we got to do. That's how a church grows. It's just tell people about Jesus. I know there's other things you can do and things like that, but that's what really comes down to is when you're with those people at school, at work, in your neighborhood, that you meet in, you bump into at the restaurant, wherever it might be, tell people about Jesus and what he has meant to you in your life as well. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. She also listened to God. We know that she responded to his call. We can only speculate, though, if she was a prophetess during her marriage. We're not quite sure about that, or after her marriage, or soon after, or a distant time afterwards. We're not really sure of that. We just know that she was, because she was listening to God's call, to how God designed her and wired her and purposed her, what her passion was. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. She was also patient, waiting all those years as she got older and older and older and older. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Eat clean presence. So we've done the eat part, we've done the clean part, we got through it. Now on to the presence. Y'all ready? Here are seven things we can glean from this beautiful woman in the temple named Anna, which, by the way, her name comes from Hannah, which also means God's favor. And we look at these seven things and we go, wow, what an amazing woman. Isn't that something? She's pretty awesome. But at the same time, if you're a lot like me, I can be sitting there listening to the preacher preaching and go, okay, preacher, great, another Bible superhero with such high standards that I can't even reach. Because when we look at our lives and we compare it to Anna's, we go, wow, I don't know. You know, am I throwing in the towel too quickly in my life? Am I fulfilling my purpose? Am I really fulfilling my purpose and calling on this earth? Am I trusting the Lord for everything? Am I fully committed to the Lord? Am I really committed to him? Am I being a strong witness for Christ? Am I truly listening to God? Am I really patient? Am I really patient with the Lord? Am I waiting on God? Preacher, you don't understand. I'm not there yet. I'm not like Anna. I don't have it all together. You want to hear the good news about that? Is that join the club? We all don't have it together yet. Because we're growing. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we're growing. It didn't say that she was in her 20s that she had it all together. Okay? Says she was 84 or some years old. Are you saying, Brian, I have to wait 40 years old to have it all together? Nope, not saying that either. Not saying that either. But the good news is that we are growing, and if we feel like we've stopped growing, then we're probably not here. They're probably with our Lord and Savior. But another sermon, another time, I can make the argument that even there, we're going to be continuing to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Because our God is all about life and all about growing and all about blessing. And we are growing. And so wherever you are, you know, somebody said, if you want to know where to go and how to get someplace, you have to recognize where you are first. You have to recognize that, hey, you know what? I'm not there yet, but don't get depressed about it. Well, you don't understand the brokenness in my life about you, Brian, right now. I understand, but don't get discouraged about it. Because we're all in the race. We're all running the same race together. That's why we come together on Sunday mornings. One of the reasons is we come together realizing we're all in the race together. We all have our own particular finish line. We have our own particular goal beyond that that brings us joy. And we're all in this race together. And so the good news is this, is that whatever it is that you want in your life, if you want to be more patient with the Father and more patient in your life, if you want to, you know, trust in the Lord a little bit more, if you want to stop quitting on things and don't quit anymore and move forward, whatever that is in your life, you can have. As a matter of fact, this year in 2020, the Ministry Team Council and I have come together to call it the Year of Jubilee. Now, I'm not here to preach about the Year of Jubilee. I'll do that in a couple of weeks and talk about the Year of Jubilee. But in the history of Israel, in the nation of Israel, the Year of Jubilee was an amazing time. It was a time of redemption. It was a time of restoration and a time of renewal. It was a time of freedom. Freedom from debt, freedom from addiction, freedom from bondage, freedom from slavery, whatever it was a freedom they experienced. And there's things in our life that we want to break free from. There's things in our life that we want to have restored. There's things in our life that we want to have renewed. Amen? And it's not just, it's all of us. And so we're going to move into 2020 with expectation that in a certain area of our life that God is going to come in and just do an amazing thing. Amen? Do you want that? Do you believe that? The good news is this. As we look at Anna, we go, wow, she's just amazing. She's just perfect. There's areas of our life we have to work on and we have to grow in. God's not done with us yet. Do you know that? Even if you're 84 years old, or older, or even older, God's not finished with you yet. God has a purpose for all of us. And you can have what you want. Remember, I share with you, I don't make any guarantees and promises, but I know, I believe, and I trust my Lord and Savior that I know with His help and guidance, you can have what it is you want. Do you believe that? You can have what you want in 2020. And here's how I know. And here's how I know that I know. Because if this woman who lost the love of her life, who was alone and by herself, with all the pressure upon her, in a culture that doesn't really allow somebody like that to rise up, and she is able to rise up, and she was, the Bible says, old, very elderly. If she can do it, then I can do it, and you can do it too. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for Anna. We are excited about the day we are able to meet her and visit with her one day. We thank you for her example. And yet, sometimes in Scripture, we take just a verse or two and we just look at it as complete perfection, but we don't have the whole history and the whole life that's behind all that and the challenges and the ups and the downs and the storms in our life and all of those things. We don't see all that, but we know and can understand that she's been through a lot. But because she stayed within your presence, you guided and helped her through all these things. As well, you can help and guide us through as well. Because of Jesus, who makes all things possible. And in His name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.